Proverbs 24, this is not the message that I originally had planned to preach, I will tell you that, but the Lord has impressed upon my heart to preach this message, so I trust Him and His leading. Amen. Proverbs 24, how many of you are glad you're in church this morning?
Amen.
I'm glad that you're here as well, and guests, I mean that, I particularly am thankful for you being here. We had some other, one of Mrs. students, or Mrs. Howell's students, right there during the song service. I slipped back, wanted to say hello to them, and I appreciate the family being here today, and all of our guests. Proverbs 24, I'm going to have you go to the very last few verses. Proverbs 24, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 30. In verse 30, the Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. This morning I want to use these particular verses, particularly the ones talking about in verse 31, the field, the vineyard was all grown over with thorns, nettles covered the face thereof, and a stone wall thereof was broken down. I want to bring a message entitled, Who's Pulling the Weeds? Who's pulling the weeds? It's a very simple, simple message this morning. I promise you that. But it's one that I believe is probably of most importance to every individual, particularly to the child of God, the one that says, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to ask you, who's pulling the weeds in your life? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do want to thank you for everyone who is here. Lord, it's always wonderful to see an auditorium filled with folks that Lord, have come to see what you have to say to them today. Dear God, I pray that you would speak to them. Lord, again, Lord, I will run to the safety of the fact that my words have no power whatsoever. Lord, I could come up with the most wonderful outline in my mind. And Lord, I could deliver such a perfect soliloquy that would do nothing for anyone. And dear God, I pray that your power would be very evident today. Lord, I pray that we would see your strength. Dear God, I pray that you would see us, help us to see, Lord, the weeds in our lives that must be pulled. And bless our time together. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, it's good to know that. I thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ over the past few years. I suppose it could be said that people have shied away a bit from the blood of Jesus Christ, not wanting to have a bloody religion, being a politically correct society, not wanting to think about the slaughtering, if we could, of an innocent lamb that is spoken about so clearly, so evidently in the Old Testament especially. But I thank God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses all our sin. And this morning I do hope and pray that if you're here, and it doesn't matter, you could be here perhaps and have sat under the ministry of Coastal Light Baptist Church for years on end and still not be able to answer that question, where would I spend eternity? I'll promise you this, if you will allow me before I get into the meat of our message, I'll promise you this. It would not be the first time that someone who had come to an old-fashioned Baptist church for many years had realized that the fact that they had never truly shown their humility before God, realized the need of their condition, and understood the fact that they were lost and on their way to a Christless hell.
Amen.
Bound for an eternity in an everlasting fire, as the Bible describes it very clearly. I believe that book. I believe about that fire. I believe about hell that we are all in judgment of. But I also believe the fact that Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, shed His precious blood so that I could know the peace and the hope of eternity. I can know that I'm going to heaven not because I attend Coastal Light Baptist Church. I can know that I'm going to heaven not because I'm a good man, because I'm not. I'll promise you that. I can know that I'm on my way to heaven not because I pastor a church or because I hold the right Bible or any standard that I might set for myself. I can know that I'm on my way to heaven because I remember the day that I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I remember being convicted in my young heart that I was on my way to hell. As a small boy, I understood that there was a consequence for my sin. And that consequence was not going to be just a spanking, as I got many of them as a child. Many more than you probably did. I don't know, but I got my share of them. But that wasn't the consequence for my sin. Now, I might have gotten that from my dad. I might have gotten that from my math teacher, Mr. Yoke, and he learned how to give swats that year. He didn't know at the beginning of the year how to give a good swat. By the end of the year, he knew well. Yeah, amen. Public school right there in the hallway where all of the people could see. I thank the Lord for that. Anyway, listen, I know that I'm on my way to heaven because I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. As the song that Brother Johnson just sang, the blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, thank the Lord that it washes away our sin. It's a gift that Jesus Christ paid for. It's a gift that He went to the cross of Calvary and paid for. And it's a gift that if it is left unreceived, unopened in your life, then it's a gift that was paid for no purpose. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, He purchased a gift for you. He did it for you. But if you have never humbled yourself before God and said, I need to be saved. If you're trusting the fact that you came to the right church, or you're a good person, or you do this, or you do that, and if you realize, if you think that God surely is going to look at my life and judge my good works against my bad works, and He's got to see that my good works are far outweigh my bad works, surely He will let me in. I can promise you this, according to the pages of Scripture, you have the wrong understanding of the Bible.
Amen.
Oh, I don't want you to go to hell.
Amen.
I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to understand. And I'm going, I'm taking my time on purpose at the beginning of the message because I couldn't proclaim anything more important than that.
Amen.
As I say, this would not be the first church that ever had a tried and true staunch member walk an aisle and realize that they're not saved. So if it's you this morning, oh, would you come to Christ? Would you make sure? By the invitation time, I pray that the Holy Spirit will have done a work in your heart to cause you to realize there is a judgment in the Bible. That judgment is hell. And I do not want to go there. And I can know Jesus Christ as my Savior. The only thing, there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. You will not do it with your name. It will not be your good works. It will be because of Jesus Christ. But I want this morning, I want you to look at these verses again here in Proverbs 24. I went by, verse number 30, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So this particular passage draws our thoughts to the lazy individual, the farmer, if you will. The man that has a vineyard, the man that has a field that he has planted, the man that has been given the responsibility of tending to this particular garden. I think in my mind, I think of Adam in Genesis when God, of course, had created everything and chose to save for the very last that which He would create in His own image, mankind. And so He creates Adam. And of course, out of the rib of Adam, He creates a helpmeet for him, Eve. And their responsibility was to tend to the garden. And I can promise you this, Adam was not a lazy individual. Now, it doesn't give us an outline of the life of what Adam was like. We certainly know the fall, and all of the fall of mankind is pinned on him. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we know that we can look back to Adam, and we can say, had it not been for Adam, I guess I would be a perfect individual. But that's not the case. Because Adam sinned, death and sin passed upon all men. And so, but I think about Adam in that garden. We're talking about the man that isn't slothful. And so he tends to his fields. He tends to that garden. He watches over everything. He makes sure that the things are manicured as they would need to be. And we come here to Proverbs and we read this about the wisdom of the Word of God. Proverbs speaks about the wisdom of God. And it says that I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And I remember being taught years ago. Now the farm that I grew up on was dry land. It was a sandy type of a soil. There were no rocks really in the ground. Those of you who've been around me, I've gone through this before. But there are some areas, especially in the northern areas, that would have a lot of rocks in the soil in that loam, and the rocks would tend to make their way to the surface every year when the farmer would plow the field, and so they would have to collect those rocks and take them. And they decided what they would do is they would start making fences. And so if you go up in the northeastern areas especially, you can find a lot of fences that are made with rocks. And they get those rocks out of the field, they would carry them over. And so as we're thinking about the rocks that are broken down, now we're thinking about that farmer that was so lazy that he wouldn't mend his own fence. He wouldn't take care of that fence. He wouldn't take care of that which was given for protection. We can understand the nature of a fence. We had fences on our farm to keep the cattle in. They didn't know that. They always got out. But that was the purpose of it. We knew it wasn't going to keep the coyotes out. We knew it wasn't going to keep the deer out, but it was supposed to keep the cattle in. But they took lessons from the deer. They figured out how to jump the fence. Except they couldn't get back. They just plowed through the fence and then we'd have to fix it. So, but the fences that we're thinking of here were given for that protection to the field. But this particular farmer, he was a lazy individual. He was slothful, as we see here. Considered it well, verse 32, I looked upon it, received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So we think about the weeds, the nettles. The stone wall has already begun to decay, but it was all grown over. It's covered with thorns and the nettles, and so we think about those weeds. And so, therefore, I want to ask you about that. Who is pulling the weeds? Now, several years ago, we built some flower beds around the particular areas of our church and around this tree right out here in the little courtyard. We had some at the very at the driveway. We no longer have those. We have different flower beds that were just planted. It's beginning to be, it's springtime now, and so I know what's coming. When we planted all of that, it was October. It was just at the fall time. And I knew that we wouldn't have to do much pruning of the bushes. We wouldn't have to be attending to the flowers or anything. But I knew that springtime was coming. I knew that what was going to happen is weeds were going to begin growing up. And so years ago when we had planted these particular flower beds, I began to take the time, and I look forward to it, honestly. It's a time that I guess I can say is a relaxing time. And I remember, well, I've not done it for a while, but now that we have some good established flower beds, I know I'll be doing it again. But I remember going out there, and I began pulling weeds. Because, man, we had flowers, and I didn't want the flower bed to be full of weeds. And so I thought, well, it's got to be done. I'm here. I can take care of it. And so I would go out there. And shortly, not too long after doing that, boy, the Lord smote my heart. He said, man, wouldn't this be a good time to begin praying? I'm like, you know, Lord, it would. I'm sorry. I should be praying while I'm doing this. And so boy, it was a time where I'd be praying for our church. I'd be praying for the Lord's leading. I'd be praying for members of the church. And just a wonderful time. While I'm out there pulling these weeds. You see, I want us to understand something about weeds. These weeds that we think of in our life. I'm asking the question, who's pulling the weeds? Now, I'm not trying to get you to volunteer to pull the weeds. Unless, of course, you just can't wait until I'll let you do it. I'll find somewhere else to pray. But the weeds are going to represent the sin in our life. Those weeds, those things that are sin. Yeah, the Bible even goes so far as to say, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. So we have weeds of all kinds in our lives that I want to draw an illustration with. Who is it that's pulling the weeds in your life? It has been said before that you cannot love flowers until you hate weeds. You say, well, I love the flowers. Well, as I've been taught, and I firmly believe, you can't have a real love for flowers until you have a real hatred for the weeds. And of course, that illustration is given for the purpose of our life. I want to be a flower for the Lord. I want to be a beautiful plant, a beautiful flower. I want to be the tree that beareth fruit. But I can't be that until I hate weeds. I can't see the flowers if all I see are the weeds. So I've got some things I'd like you to write down. Again, as I said, it's a very simple outline. But oh, it's important to us. I want you to think about this. If you're taking notes, write this down. As far as pulling weeds in your life, I want you to write down, number one, pull them when they're small. Pull them when they're small. You see, the small weeds are so much easier to pull out of the ground than the large weeds are. The small weeds, oh, you pull that small weed, man, you get the entire thing. You get it root and all. Man, it's a good feeling. I mean that. It's like, man, I killed that weed. Wow! It's a wonderful thing. You see, if you wait until they're larger, then that thing is grown, and now you've got something that looks like it would maybe pull out real easy, and you reach down, and you pull, and all you get is the foliage on the top. You get maybe the little flower that had come up. You get the greenery, but you know that the weed is still there. The root is still embedded very firmly in the soil. But if you pull them when they're small, if you pull the weeds when they're small, they come up unbelievably easy. You see, in Job, let me read a verse to you. In Job chapter 19, verse number 28, it says, "Why persecutest we him?" Now, this is, of course, talking about Jesus Christ. Isaiah talks about the fact that it is because of our sin. Now, listen. It's because of our sin that Jesus Christ went to the cross. Amen. It wasn't because of anything that he had done. He lived perfectly, righteously. He had no sin whatsoever. Man, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. That is almost as good as Brother Joey. No. Can you imagine someone who never sinned? Could you imagine being the mother of Jesus Christ? Could you imagine being Mary? And when he's two, having everyone else come and say, "Oh, the terrible twos, they're just miserable." Elizabeth, her cousin, that had given birth to John the Baptist. I can imagine John the Baptist. Well, I can imagine what we know of him as an adult. I can imagine he was a wild child. I can imagine she was always saying, John, would you stop? John, no, John. But Mary never had to say that. Could you imagine as Elizabeth is coming in, she, of course, when they were both expecting, Mary expecting the mother of Jesus, went in and gave salutation to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. They were related, they were cousins one to another, and I can imagine after the birth of their children, they continued to be acquainted and visit one another, and I'm sure Elizabeth at one point said, "I just can't believe this, I don't know what to do," and talking about all the woes of toddlers, and now he's five, and now he's though now he's 13, and so and Mary to say, "I don't have that problem with Jesus." Oh, fine, of course you've got the perfect one. Well, yes, I do, but you see. Weeds in our lives, those small weeds, we all have them. As it says, "Why persecutest we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me?" Why is it that Jesus Christ had to go to the cross of Calvary? Maybe that thought has never really gone across your mind. Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? You see, if you examine the life of Jesus in Scripture, if you examine the life of Jesus in history, which he's written of in history, you'll find nothing but a perfect individual, a man that had no difficulties, a man that had no sin whatsoever in his life. So why would it be that this man, who was a perfect individual, not perfect and mature as Job was, even though he eschewed evil, but rather a perfect man who did no wrong whatsoever, why did he have to go to the cross? Why did he have to see the cross, the death of the cross? Seeing the root of the matter is in me. I am the reason. I am the one who should have been crucified. I am the one who should spend eternity in hell. It wasn't because of Jesus that he had done anything that would cause him to die for my sin, to shed his blood for my sin, for his soul to go to hell for my sin. It wasn't his cause. It was my cause. Why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is in me? That root, the root that we're talking about, you see, that small, thin, hair-like weed that has a very, very thin root to it, has hardly even begun to send out its little runners. If you've ever pulled weeds before, you understand that. I can see some folks are getting a little chilly. Maybe turn off the fan if you would. And so you pull that weed, and it hasn't even sent the runners out yet. It just has that one small root going down into the soil, but it comes up so easily. You see, Some weeds are as thin as I'll pull them out there. Some weeds are as thin as a human hair, but they pull out easy. Now they're harder to see. They're harder to see than the one that has bloomed. They're harder to see than the one that has spread out its foliage to catch the rays of the sun so that it can provide the nutrition for itself. They're harder to see. It's just a sliver of a green stem going up. They're harder to see. Oh, but they pull out so easily. Pull the weeds of your life when they're small. Pull them when they're small. Take your Bible, go over to James, if you would, chapter number 1, New Testament, James, after the book of Hebrews. James, chapter number 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's one, of course, in the pew before you. I would love for you to take the Bible. I would love for you to see this. James, chapter number 1, almost all the way to the back of the Bible. Not quite. But James, if you would look at verse number, in chapter number 1, look at verse number, beginning of verse number 13. Verse number 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But," watch now, "but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now see, here's what I'm talking about. If you pull the weed when it's small, it's going to come out much easier. Because we look at the progression of sin. Every man, verse 14, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, so lust is going to bring something about it. Lust is going to bring forth sin. So we've got the progression of lust. We see something, whether it's the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. We see something that is going to head in the direction of sin for our lives. If we pull it when it's lust, it comes out just like that. It hasn't had time to embed itself in your life. It hasn't had time to send the roots down and wrap itself around some hard structure, maybe a twig that was buried down in the dirt, or a stone, a pebble, or a rock of some kind. It just pulls out very easily because you realize when it's just simply lust. You realize that before it comes to fruition, it's just lust. Lord, I can pull this now. Dear Lord, I don't want to go down this path. I understand. I see where the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, I see where it goes. I see that lust bringeth forth sin. But sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Back in the 70s, one of the drugs of choice, as I was told, LSD. I've always considered this the LSD of sin. Lust, sin, and death. Lust. Oh, generally we have no difficulties finding lust. We have no difficulties lusting after a new car or a new boat or a new house or a new job or this or that. We have no difficulties lusting after the sins in our lives that we know are wrong, that we know they're ungodly. As a child of God, we already know these things, but yet we have no difficulty finding those lusts in our life. And if we do not pull it when it is a small weed, it's going to grow into sin. And if we do not kill it when it's sin, it will bring death. You say, "Well, but Pastor, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about death in hell." No, you don't have to worry about death in hell. But you do have to worry about the death of your Christian life. You do have to worry about the death of your testimony. It might be that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if that's the case, then you do have to worry about the death of hell. You have to worry about the second death that the book of Revelation talks about. You have to worry about the fact that you will stand before God one day unforgiven. You will stand before God day full of your sin and your pride, because all you're telling God, when you say, "I think I'm good enough to get to heaven." When you look at me and you say, "Pastor, I think I'm fine. I know that Jesus died on the cross, and I believe that, and I believe that I have lived a good enough life that God is going to be happy with what I've done, and He's going to let me in." All you're doing is saying, "I am a very proud individual. I am so proud." You'll stand one day before God in all of your pride, and He will sentence you to eternal hell There is no other alternative for him. He does not have the capability of saying, well, let me look at your life. You're right, it was a good life. Maybe I'll forego this one infraction of the law and I will allow you to live in heaven for eternity, even though I've already passed sentence according to Scripture. I'll forego it. I'll ignore the law. You see, God can't do that. If he's a perfect judge, which he is, if he's a good judge, which he is, he cannot decide to ignore written Scripture and look at your life instead. We don't call them good judges here on this earth. If we stand before a judge and we say, admittedly, I killed that man, but if you will look at the rest of my life, this is the first time I've ever killed anyone. I'm probably not going to kill anyone again. And if you'll just consider all the good things that I've done before, dear judge, if you'd just tell the jury to let me off, I'd be forever indebted to you. And if that judge looks at the jury and says, you know what, folks, he's right, he's a good man, I knew him when he was growing up, I'm going to forgive this one, it's just this one thing, killed one man, he'll not do it. Boom, slam the gavel down, you're innocent. We wouldn't consider him a good judge. Why would we consider God a good judge to overlook our infraction of the law and say, I'll let you in anyway? You see, there's a real payment to be made. For the wages of sin is death, talking about eternal damnation in hell. I cannot make it any more simple than that. Oh, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through your name, not through my name, not through Coastal Light Baptist Church, not through any religious organization, but rather through the shed blood of Jesus Christ our Savior. See, our sins are like weeds. They're best pulled when they're small. Again, they're harder to see, but they're easily pulled. So we see the sin. We see the lust first that's going to take us to sin. And then the sin is going to take us to death. Oh, if I could pull it over here when it's just lust. If I could avoid death and hell, I want to pull the weed of not being saved. I want to pull the weed of pride before God. I want to pull the weed of having no idea where I'm going to spend eternity. And I'll run and I'll beg God for salvation. You say, well, I'm already saved. Then let's pull the small weeds in our lives that are going to kill our Christian testimony as well. Oh, we can see here, verse number 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Let's pull the weeds when they're small. It always starts as a small thing. It always starts as a little thing. Oh, it's not sin yet. It certainly isn't death. Boy, it's not even sin yet, preacher. Right now, I'm just lusting after it. Right now, it's just lust. Oh, would we pull them when they're small? They come out. They come out so much easier. You see, pull the sin of, or the lust, I could say, the weed of gossip before it grows into hatred and character assassination. Pull the weed of little white lies before it ruins your marriage. Let's pull the weed of lust before it grows into adultery or fornication. Let's pull the weeds of cigarettes before it grows into lung cancer. Let's pull the weeds of alcoholism before it grows into death of you and others, very likely. Let's pull the weeds in our lives when they're small. Oh, I've written down so many things. We could pull the weeds of missing Sunday school because it's going to grow into the sin of, let's just forget about going to church even.
Amen.
Let's pull the small little weeds in our lives. Because it's going to go from lust to sin to death. The lies are going to grow into more lies and then bigger lies. The envy that's going to grow into greed. The I'm going to get it no matter what mentality. The little rebellion, you children, you young people. The little rebellion that grows into larger rebellion. And soon you're uncontrollable. Oh, would we pull the weeds when they're small? If we would pull the weeds when they're small, they come out so much easier. Number two, I want you to write this down. Pull the weeds when you see them. Pull the weeds when you see them. Go over to Matthew 26 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 26. Again, let me say, if you'll pull them when they're small, they come out so much easier. It might be that you have something that's brewing in your life. Something that's simmering right now. It's a small thing. Oh, would you pull it before it grows larger? Would you pull it before it gets out of control? Would you pull it before it causes great sin in your life and death even after that? But the second thing, as we've said, Let's pull them when we see them. Go to Matthew 26, if you will. Look here at the last part of the chapter, verse number 69. Verse number 69, the Bible says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel." Now, by the way, this, of course, is at the just before the crucifixion of Christ. They have led Christ away out of the Garden of Gethsemane. They have taken him captive. Judas has already betrayed him with a kiss. And now we have Peter that's following from afar. He's not right up there with him, but he's following out just a little bit distance. "Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came to him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But Peter denied him, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest." We're talking Peter, the apostle that was used greatly by God. He was called upon countless times by the Lord Jesus. And now here he is sitting and saying, I don't know the man. Jesus, what's his last name? I don't know who he is. Nope, you got the wrong guy here. It goes on, verse number 71. "When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were with the, or that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Oh, so now we have his last name. "And again he denied with an oath and said, I do not know the man." He cursed. Another passage says he cursed. Here we have someone, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who's allowing weeds to grow up all around him. And I mean, they are sprouting immediately. "Oh, no, I don't know him." Liar. "No, you know him." "Well, beep, beep, I do not." With an oath, with a curse. Verse number 73. "And after a while came unto him," "after a while came unto him, they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." Can I stop here? Here we have Peter, a disciple, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who's trying to act like the world. "Well, I don't know him. Bleep, 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 bleep. No, he's not my idol. No. But they come to him and they say, no, your speech is giving you away. Your speech is berating you. No. No. You may have tried to curse your way out of it here, but the way you talk..." Now, I will say this. I thank the Lord for the child of God that their speech berateth them. Brother Johnson, I apologize to mention this. He was talking about it with me the other day. I was excited. Just started a new job, and someone asked him, "Are you a deacon in your church?" He said, "Well, yeah, I thank the Lord, I am. I'm able to be used in that capacity." And I forget exactly the exchange of words. He could tell you, he won't, but he could. He said, "I'm sure that there are times, you know, I'm at work and something, you know, well, man, well, praise the Lord about this, or man, amen about that." I know Brother Johnson. I know how he talks. I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful for people that your speech gives away that you're a child of God. Wouldn't that be a good thing, that people that we work with, people that we interact with every day, look at us and say, "Man, there's something different about you. The way you talk. I never hear you use profanity." Now, unfortunately, Peter, we couldn't say that about. I never hear you curse. I never hear you take the Lord's name in vain. In fact, every now and then I hear you'll say, "Man, praise the Lord." Or you'll say, "Well, I'll do that, Lord willing." Or, "What is it about you?" Man, I thank the Lord for that. Even Peter couldn't get away from it, even though he tried. "Well, I didn't know him, and I'll curse all over the place because of it." And they come to him, they say, no, verse 73, "Thy speech bewrayeth thee." Then began, watch verse 74, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." But watch 75, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." I'll tell you this, here's what happened. He tries these three times, even to the point of he decided to curse. I forgot that it was this particular passage. He cursed to them, and I do not know the man. The cock crows. He's already betrayed him three times. And it says there, if you look at verse number 75, he went out and pulled some weeds. He wept bitterly. He realized immediately what had happened. You see, I said, first of all, pull them when they're small, but second, pull them when you see them. Here we have a great illustration of a man that has just allowed lust to take over, and he is slipping into sin very, very quickly. And when it's pointed out to him, he goes out and he weeps bitterly. He pulls some weeds. He realizes what he has done. He could have gotten angry. He could have gotten even angrier. He could have thrown his fist up to heaven and said, "Well, you told me I was going to do this. Why didn't you pronounce that judgment already upon me?" Well, and gotten all bent out of shape and gotten angry at God for what had happened. But no, rather he decided, "I will pull some weeds. I will pull the weeds of my life before they grow so large that I cannot take care of them." And when he saw them, he went out and he wept bitterly. He said, "Oh dear Lord God, I need to take care of these weeds." Oh, we love the fact that it's recorded in Luke 24. It's recorded that he is at the tomb of the Savior. He is at the tomb of Jesus Christ. He pulled weeds and then he went on for the Lord. He pulled weeds and then he decided, "I'm not going to quit. I will not." Even when he said, "I go a fishing, I'm going to cash it all in. I'm tired of this." Praise the Lord, he continues to go even again. Oh, that we would pull the weeds when we see them. You see, well, there are things that people that have weeds. And we say, "Yes, I know I've got weeds. And God hates the weeds." Then why don't we pull them when we see them? Why don't we pull them and go on for Christ? Some of you are just now realizing that you've got weeds in your garden, to be honest. Some are just now realizing that I've got weeds. I didn't realize they were weeds. I didn't think they were weeds. They look like flowers. Well, they look so beautiful. That dandelion, it looks so pretty. I didn't realize it was a weed. That sunflower, I didn't realize it wasn't the crop that the farmers grow. But this was just a wild sunflower and it's good for nothing. I didn't see it as a weed. Well, I thought it was good. I thought it was godly. I thought that Christian rock and roll was a wonderful thing for the Lord. I didn't realize it was a weed in my life.
Amen.
Some would look at this old preacher and say, "What do you mean? Christian rock and roll is not godly?" No. I'll promise you this. God never looked over the banister of heaven. Nobody's saying amen. I'll say amen. God never looked over the banister of heaven and saw the rock and roll generation and said, "Man, why didn't I think of that? Rock and roll music, what a good tool. Man, I'll just throw my words on that music. And we'll have a great time." I promise you this, the God of heaven never thought that.
Amen.
The God of heaven sees it as a weed as it is.
Amen.
But unfortunately, many born-again believers, many children of God, don't even see the fact that it's a weed in their life. You see, sometimes you think it's a flower, but I promise you this, when you do business with God, He'll show you what the weeds are. So what do? You pull them when you see them. You pull them when you see them. I'll give the illustration again. I remember sitting right over here at Timberline Baptist Church, and I remember the pew that I was sitting in, and I remember the preaching against rock and roll music, and I was shouting, "Amen, amen, amen!" And he was plowing corn, talking about the wickedness, and this was back in the early 80s, and man, I was shouting glory, hallelujah, because I agreed with that. Praise the Lord, that's right. And then that dog, he started talking about the wickedness of country western music. And I got a little bit quiet. Like, what are you talking about my music for? What are you? And boy, he started going. I'm not preaching on music this morning, but he started going down the line of the difficulties of country western music. Well, rap wasn't even on the scene at that point. Didn't have to worry about that. Swing, all that kind of stuff was. But man, he started preaching, and I got real quiet, real quick. And I'm thinking, what in the world is he talking about? What's wrong with my country western music? What's wrong with Alabama? What's wrong with all of these? I don't want to name them for you because you'll start singing the songs. But I realized what it was. And I remember throwing those brand new cassette tapes I've told you before. I hadn't even listened to all of them. Just been given to me at Christmas time. And I haven't even listened to all these. Oh, those songs that I loved. And what am I going to do now? And I'm not trying to say, hey, I'm a good person. But I thank the Lord that He showed me the weeds. I thank the Lord that He showed me the weeds. Oh, would we be willing to pull the weeds when we see them? When we realize that they're weeds? Would we realize that the living, that our lifestyle, our worldly living, our immodesty, our impure thoughts, would we realize that they're actually weeds in our lives? And it's causing other people to stumble and fall and have difficulties. No wonder we live in such a weak-kneed generation of born-again believers, because we don't pull the weeds when we see them. Would we realize the weed of pride in our lives and get right before God, because God's never going to use an individual who's proud? I'll promise you that. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God's waiting for us to get rid of our pride. By the way, just as I said earlier, it will be the sin of pride that will send you to hell, because you will convince yourself that God thinks you're such a good person, He couldn't turn you away. That is nothing more than pride. Amen. Oh, I beg you, would you realize the sin and the wickedness of pride? Would you pull that weed? Would you pull the weed of lust of your houses and your cars and your boats and your jobs and your co-workers? Would you pull those weeds? Would you pull the weed? Would you pull the weed of, oh, you had surrendered to the will of God at one point in your life when you were young. Maybe you surrendered to preach. Maybe you surrendered to be a missionary. Maybe you surrendered to marry into God's will and stay pure before God. Would you pull the weed that someone has gotten you to think that it really doesn't matter anymore? Would you pull that weed? Would you be willing to say, I have already told God what I would do. If He would use me, I would be willing. But I've not been living that way recently. Oh, would you pull the weed before it grows to the point where it covers in the entire face of the wall? The wall gets broken down and here you are, a slothful individual. Oh, would you pull the weeds when you see them? The last thing that I'm going to ask. Wait, before we get there. I've got another page. Amen. Just saw this. I'm looking at the time. Listen, pull the weeds when you see them. When I pull the weeds, and I'll be back out there this spring, I know. I don't pull them from a standing up position. Let's see if I can reach over. You know, I can't bend over quite like I might have been able to at one point. I have to get down right here. I get down on my knees, and I start pulling weeds. I thank the Lord that He clearly showed me what a perfect time to pray. What a perfect time to go before the Lord. But you see, the weeds in our life, we can see them when we're on our knees. We can see them when we begin praying about our life. God starts showing the weeds in our life when we start asking Him to show us. When we start, when we begin having a prayer life and a real communion with God, God, it's inevitable. He's going to point them out. He's going to show you the weeds in your life so that you can pull them. I thought about this. They're out there on Highway 61. Man, I'd see cars whipping by, zoom, you know, going by. Traffic wouldn't be too bad in mid-morning, early afternoon. And so, man, the cars are, you know, 40, 45, 50 miles an hour. And you know, they never once saw those weeds and stopped, pulled over, and pulled them. There's not a car that actually driving by saw that weed and thought, oh man, look at all those weeds over there. I think I'll stop by and pull them. They probably didn't even see them. Now they may have looked by and said, man, look at all those nice flowers. Didn't realize all the weeds that were intermixed. They saw the flowers, but they didn't see the weeds. You see, here's what I'm getting at. Sometimes we go through life so fast that we don't see the weeds. I'll say this, got it written in my notes. You go so fast, you only have opportunity to be in church maybe a couple times a week. You're not even going to see the weeds in your life. All you have time for God is maybe once a week, maybe twice a week. You're not going to see the weeds in your life. You're going by too fast. It's you're traveling down the road so quickly. You're so consumed with everything that you've got to get done. And I, 2015, I know there's a lot that has to get done. We pile it on top of ourselves and we pile it on top of ourselves. We take it upon ourselves. I understand. I do the same. You do the same. But when we're going by so fast, we don't even see the weeds because we have so much in our lives that are involved. Oh, would you realize that the place that weeds like to grow, the place that weeds like to grow are right underneath the flowers. I found it very interesting when I was pulling weeds. They like to grow right at the base of the flowers. Perhaps it's the shade. Perhaps it's, maybe the weed is thinking, if I hide right here under this flower, no one will know I'm a weed. Well, I'll just hide underneath that King James Bible. Nobody will know that I've got weeds in my life. If I just hide under the fact that I'll dress like a godly lady or I'll dress like a godly man, no one will know that I've got weeds in my life. And I'm all for a King James Bible, and I'm all for dressing godly and modestly. But you see, sometimes we let these weeds grow up right underneath the flowers, hoping that no one will see the weeds in our lives because they'll be so accustomed to seeing the flowers. Yeah. Weeds are smart. They know where to grow. We know where to let weeds grow in our lives that nobody gets to see it because they couldn't see it for all the flowers. Oh, let's pull them when we see them. The last thing I'll have you write down, pull them often. Pull them often. 1 John 1, verse number 9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can't tell you enough. Pull them often. Pull them when you know that they are there. Pull them every day. Don't let the day go by that you just continue to have weeds grow and you disregard them. Pull them often. Oh, that we would say, every time I see the weed, I'm going to pull it. I'm going to pull it. I'm going to close. Go over to Proverbs 24, if you would. Proverbs 24, I'm almost done. I see what time it is. I'm sorry that I'm taking you so long. Proverbs 24, look at the last couple of verses here. Look at verse number 32. It says, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. You see, we must be busy about pulling weeds. Don't be slothful about it. See the weed. See the weed. Consider the impact. Listen now. See the weed for what it is. As it says here, verse number 32, then I saw it and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. See the weeds. Oh, would you consider their impact on your life? Would you consider the impact that the weeds will have on your life? Receive instruction. Oh, would you pull the weeds? Would you pull the weeds? Because they are devastating. I could tell you about the weeds that used to grow in the field, in our wheat field, that would choke out the entire area. Bindweed, we called it. Had a pretty little flower. In fact, it was planted by the railroad system when they started the railroads throughout the land, because it would grow with hardly any water and it would grow like wildfire. It would spread and it was pretty. It had a little white. Sometimes they were pink, and along the tracks, the people who were riding the train could see it. It would look so good. They didn't realize the impact of what it was going to do for farmers, because it spreads like wildfire. It gets into the wheat fields, gets into the corn fields, and it chokes out the life of the crop. That's what weeds will do. Oh, they may look pretty, but when it's a weed, it doesn't matter how pretty it might look to somebody. It doesn't ever look pretty to God. Boy, let's pull some weeds in our lives. Bow your heads if we would. Close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the time. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to preach. Dear God, I pray that we would pull weeds in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would see them as You see them. Dear God, it might be that there is someone here today that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I know what time it is. And Lord, I pray that no one would be thinking that it's too late, dear God, because it is never going to be. Today, Lord, today is the day. Lord, this is the time. Dear God, I pray that You would do business with the hearts of those who truly need it the most this morning. This, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, no one looking around, can I ask you this question? Please listen. Please listen. I'm going to ask you if you know for sure that you're saved, if you've been born again, that if you could take me back to that time, you remember the day that you trusted Christ as your Savior. There's no question in your mind. You remember it. You could tell me all about it. Perhaps you could tell me the individual that led you to the Lord. You could take me back to that very place that you bowed your head and you asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. Is that you this morning? Could you slip your hand all over the auditorium? Now, if you say, I don't remember, then don't slip your hand up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Let me see them. I know I'm saved. I remember the day I got saved. Well, thank the Lord. You can put your hands down. Now this morning, maybe you didn't raise your hand. Maybe, perhaps because you say, I don't know. I don't know where I would go. I don't know if I've been saved. I don't remember that day. Oh, could I ask you this morning, would you allow someone to take a Bible? Oh, would you allow yourself to be humble? The folks in this church are going to be thrilled the fact that you want to know Christ as your Savior. Would you allow someone to take a Bible and show you how you could know for certain that heaven would be your home? Because if there's a question mark in your mind, I can promise you the Bible already has it answered. If you have a question mark, the answer is no. You won't go to heaven. You say, that's cruel. I'm telling you, that's God's word. That's the Bible. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I would like to know. I would like to trust Christ as my Savior. I would like to be born again. I don't want to have to live with a question mark. I don't know where I would spend eternity, but I would like to. Is that you this morning? Could I have you just slip your hand up? No one else is looking around. Could I just have you slip your hand up even right now? Say, Pastor, that's me. I would like to know. I would like to know. Maybe this morning, could I ask you this question? How many of you say, I know I've got weeds in my life. I've seen them, and I know they need to be pulled. And I'm going to ask God to help me see them even more than I do now. Would you slip your hand up all across the auditorium? Boy, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the response. Thank you for those who are honest to you. Lord, I pray you would help us to pull those things and those weeds, Lord. Help us to see what they are and how detrimental they are to our Christian life. Bless, Lord, the invitation time. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Stand if you would. The piano will begin playing. Oh, the invitation is open. I know that God has spoken to hearts and dealt with some people this morning. Would you allow God to work continually? Will you say, Lord, I know the sin. I know the weed in my life. I know what I need to pull. I know I need to be on the lookout for it. Oh, would you come and allow God to work in your heart? You come as she plays. Oh, would you come?